Today, we're going to talk about 19 seconds. And our opening scripture is John 13, 34 through 35. So we can move to the next slide, please. In John 13, 34, this is the Lord speaking. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Now, I want you to go out on a limb and tell me what he's telling us to do in this passage. It's deep, and you have to search for it. What's he telling us to do? Love. Love whom? One another. All right, that means not us. Right? And so he says it multiple times. We're going to talk about this today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love and your mercy to us. We thank you for your word. More than that, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of knowing you and for revealing yourself to us that we might have relationship with you. Lord, we want to be pleasing to you. We want to be more like you, and we want to be useful in your kingdom. So, Lord, I ask that you would touch us in a special and profound way this morning, that you would start changing our hearts and making us into what you would have us to be, that we might be pleasing to you, that we might be useful in your kingdom. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please feel free to be seated. A few weeks ago, my siblings and I, that's Lisa, Steve, and Tom, and I, went to Foxborough for the opening day of Patriots training camp. And we did that to celebrate Tom's birthday. He likes the Pats. And so we thought we'd like to go and watch them practice. And we had no idea what to expect. And I thought there might be a booth with a player sitting there to sign things and hoping we could meet somebody there. But we went, and I have a whole long story about it. It took a whole day, so I could tell you all about the day. And then it went into a second day, so I could tell you about that. But we're gonna go fast here. But long story short, it was awesome. The end. Let's pray. Yeah. But we'd only planned there on being there for one day. But as we went in, and you know, Tom can't walk long distances, so he was in his wheelchair, and we wheeled him out to the bleachers. And as we're sitting there, they have like these opening speeches, and they mentioned something about, and in tomorrow's practice, blah, blah, blah. And Tom said, "Tomorrow again, yay," and was all excited that tomorrow too. And luckily, we were smart and planned for contingencies, and so we could do a second day. But as we were sitting there, we watched the practice sessions, and Tom ended up meeting with several of the players and getting a bunch of autographs. And it was just amazing the connection these players would make with the individuals, and the players were very personable, and they weren't just dialing it in, you know, they had that knack of looking at somebody and making that connection and then signing whatever it was, thanks for coming out to practice, and they move on to the next. And it you know, I would like to be able to fake that kind of connection, you know, but somehow they could make that connection. And the center, Nick Leverett, joked about liking Tom's hat, pretend to run off with it. Tom thought it was hilarious, and he ended up signing his glove and handing it to Tom. And Steve Lees and I are like, "Yeah," you know. And Tom was, "Oh, that's so nice of him." And it was such, Tom was over the moon. And so was Lisa, Steve, and I. You know, I told him it, I don't know why this is so emotional, but for some reason it was hugely emotional. And it was because people were showing my brother love like I love him. You know, somebody was showing him that he has value, and he's of infinite value to me. And so we just had an amazing, I mean, we're like on adrenaline high all day. I'm like, I don't even have words for these things. But it was amazing how a few seconds of somebody paying attention to you or to somebody you love can make such an impact on your emotions. And just as we were leaving that day, thinking the day was just wonderful and couldn't get better, we saw the Patriots rookie quarterback coming around the corner, and he just went to the Patriots Foundation tent, greeted them, and headed off to do whatever he does with the rest of the day. And all the kids from the bleachers were yelling, Drake, over here, and he just walks and does his thing. And Tom was so excited to see him walk by. You know, Drake May, that's my guy. He's my quarterback. And he's going to be unhappy to know that Drake May's not starting. He was so excited to see that. And he's like, we'll come back tomorrow and see him. I'm like, well, we can come back tomorrow, but I don't know if we're going to get to see him. You know, it was such a special experience as it was. I didn't believe it could be replicated. And then to have, you know, this new star come along. And so I'm like, well, we'll see. And frankly, I was more impressed with him getting the glove than I was about watching a quarterback walk by, you know. But we went back the next day a little more prepared. And again, we didn't know what to expect. And so we certainly didn't expect to have so much contact with the players. And only Steve was smart enough to pull out his phone and start taking pictures. Only Tom had something to sign, because we were thinking, hey, Tom should have something to sign, and we forgot that we also could have something to sign, you know, because we hadn't done this before, and we're trying to give Tom this experience, and so I felt like I was kind of insulting some of these guys. They walk over and look at me, and I'm standing there like an idiot, like, yeah, hi, good to see you, good luck this year, But anyway, so we went back the second day, and some of the same players and some other players came, and again, they all greeted Tom and signed for him, and so I got to get my picture with a couple of guys I recognized, and then I was just videotaping the interactions with Tom and the other players, and you know, Tom loves meeting people, so that made him happy already, and then there were Patriots players, so that was an extra layer, you know, and he was just having the time of his life, and he's thanking them, and I'm videoing, and Lisa's taking pictures of them posing with Tom, and it was just, it was probably the greatest thing ever besides the greatest things, you know. It was definitely worth the trip. It made our month, if not our summer, and I was so happy about this, and I thought, you know, this was definitely worth coming back the second day for. This was worth missing work at a difficult time. This was worth getting the hotel room. It was worth being away from my home and my bathroom. If you had IBS, you would understand why your bathroom is important in life. But this was definitely worth it, right? And then just as I was celebrating the success of these 2 days, out comes this quarterback, Drake. And the girl next to us is about to pass out. She's there with her brother and her mom, and she's like, you know. And I'm reminding myself, it's staying alive, you know. And just trying to remember what I'm going to do if this girl goes, you know, falls over. And she's like, oh, my goodness, if he comes over here, I'm going to scream. I'm like, well, okay. And I didn't think he was going to come over, but he did come over, and Tom was ready for him. We told Tom, you don't hug, you just fist bump, and Tom didn't pay attention to any of that, of course. Drake, you know. But as the guy comes over, the girl asked him to sign the back of her jersey. And smart, no lawsuits this way. And he's like, sure. And he signs the back of her jersey. And she's barely able to stand up against she's just so weak in the knees at this. And then he's signing her mom's something or other, or her brother's, and I can't remember what. And she's gushing about, you have no idea how much this means to me. I've been trying to meet you for 2 years, and this means so much to me. And she's like, she's close to losing her brains. And, you know, the last time I had somebody that much in a tizzy, it wasn't with excitement to see me. It was with rage at something I'd done. But anyway, she was serious about this. It meant a whole lot to this young woman for that few seconds of interaction. And then Drake walks over to Tom, and Tom is just overjoyed to see him, and he kind of, Drake leans in and pats his shoulder. I call him Drake as if I know the guy. Come football season, if he doesn't do very well, he'll be called May. But as long as we have hope, we'll be formal and we'll be friendly. But he says hi, he signs Tom's hat, he says a couple of words, and moves on to the next person, and leaves Tom just glowing with excitement. And the girl next to us is still just giddy as all can be. You know, now I'm wondering if somebody has to stake her feet to the ground because she's just, ee! And Tom is just glowing, and Lisa and I are just beside ourselves with thrill, you know, being thrilled. And so I was smart, and I had him on, I recorded the interaction. And afterwards, I was looking over it, and I saw that the entire interaction with Tom took 19 seconds. Just 19 seconds. Again, I'm not sure why it's emotional for me, but it is. He was so thrilled. Just 19 seconds to make his year. Just 19 seconds to give a lifetime memory. Just 19 seconds to give that young lady the thrill of a lifetime and a memory she's going to cherish forever. And what happened? Nothing more than a person paying attention specifically to that individual and treating them like a fellow human being. Just 19 seconds of being decent, and it had an immense impact. Now, we know that love is not an emotion, but it's a decision to act. And yet, we often think of loving others in this big, self-sacrificing way. I mean, after all, greater love hath no man than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. And we're told to love one another as Christ loves us. And so we think of the ultimate sacrifice as being the kind of love we have for people. But I've got to buy these people groceries all year. Or I need to mow that person's yard. And we forget that love is so often shown in small moments, in near instantaneous transactions where you recognize and value another person's humanity. Just 19 seconds of, hello, how are you? I'm glad to hear that. It is a nice day, isn't it? Etc. Have a good day. Just 19 seconds left people feeling just uplifted. And you might think, oh, sure, if you play for the NFL and if you're a big shot, then people care about you noticing them. But I'm not a big shot. And you may hope that I'm now going to assure you that you are a big shot, that you are important, but you're not, and I'm not. Nobody's a big shot in the kingdom of God except for God. And we try to be the least so that we can be the first because we're tricky like that. But it's not that we need to be important, because while we are his children and he loves us, that makes us no different than anybody else. It's not because we are important. It's because he is a loving God. And to prove that you don't need to be a big shot to make a difference in a quick interaction with somebody, while we were there, I met a guy named Joel. And he liked my Hawaiian shirt and was quite happy when I told him that my Hawaiian shirt could not compare to his Hawaiian shirt, which was awesomely yellow and red. And he told me that he always wins the yearly who can dress the best contest between him and his brother each Thanksgiving. And he told me he had one brother and 20 sisters. And I was like, that's crazy. And somebody said, no, it's true. And I said, I'll believe you. And we had this quick conversation. He took a picture of us together in our Hawaiian shirts. But I forgot to give my cell phone number, so I don't have the picture. But after just a few moments of this conversation with Joel in his awesomely yellow Hawaiian shirt, I had a new buddy. And I wish I'd remembered to get his phone number, because it doesn't take much to positively impact a person's life. You don't have to make a huge life-changing permanent change or impact in somebody's life. You can just add 1% better to their day, and that's enough, right? We often think that this impact has to be huge and life-altering, but it doesn't. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of sunlight to brighten up a dark place. Just a tiny seed of positivity to turn despair into something tolerable and start to grow hope. Can we go to a personal connection, please? Isn't it amazing how just a few seconds of genuine, caring attention can create a lasting memory? Whether it's a star quarterback signing a jersey or a hat, or a friendly conversation with a guy in an awesome Hawaiian shirt, these moments prove the profound impact that we can have on other people simply by acknowledging them. And this idea of taking the time and making an effort to connect and to show love is not just a nice thought. It's a command given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And as we read in our opening text, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Love one another. Maybe you should love one another. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And think about this for a second. The Lord isn't asking us to do something huge or impossible. And we think this is some gigantic, horrible ask. I think it's some gigantic, horrible ask. But he's just asking us to love others like he loves us. And immediately, we go to the scriptures that point out the immensity of his love for us. John 3:16, John 15:13, Romans 5:8, Ephesians 5:2, 1 John 4:9 and 10, and on and on. But that immense love has to start somewhere. And that love does not require a continual laying down of one's life. You would think that would be self-evident because you can only lay down your life once and then you're out of lives. But we always think that it's got to be all or nothing, and then we pull in on ourselves because we're not willing to make this gigantic investment in somebody else. You don't always need to make a giant investment. Sometimes it just takes a few seconds of our time. It just takes a quick handshake, a friendly word, eye contact, and a nod. It doesn't take a whole lot to show somebody that they are seen, valued, and loved. The command to love isn't all grand gestures and heroic acts. It's that those everyday moments, those small interactions where we have that chance to acknowledge another person's existence and we have a chance to acknowledge that they have worth in and of themselves. It's about making a genuine connection even for a few seconds. 19 seconds almost is going to give that girl heart disease when she's 50, you know. All it took, I wanted an AED device over there. It was amazing. Just 19 seconds, though, just made Tom's day, made my day, made Lisa's day, made Steve's day vicariously when I sent him the video. He had to work that day. You know, made a lot of us very happy. 19 seconds. For a guy who's never played an NFL game, who's never won a Super Bowl, who's never even won the division championship. He's a rookie. Now, he was doing it in college, that's for sure. But 19 seconds made such a difference. So think about your daily life. How many people do you encounter each day? The cashier at the grocery store, the person in front of you in line at the coffee shop, the unknown coworker who steps into your elevator and dares to go to the floor before you. Each one of these encounters is an opportunity to fulfill the Lord Jesus Christ's commandment to love one another. And I'm not saying that you need to have deep, meaningful conversations with everybody you bump into. That's not practical, and that's not what the Lord asks of us. He does ask that we acknowledge his love for each person we encounter. And we do that by acknowledging that person and treating them as though they were valuable. Because they are valuable. Because the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for them. Right? So we need to take that moment to see them, not as part of the faceless crowd. Who was it that said, a person is smart, people are dumb, or people are monsters? It's a quote from a movie, I mean picture radio, that I haven't seen ever, because I don't do that. I'm only kidding. I don't remember the movie, but it was a very funny quote, and I remember thinking, I got to remember that. And so I remember that. A person is smart, people are stupid. And so often we start lumping people into groups, and we don't see the individual. We see another faceless blob in the mass of humanity that is so infuriating, right? But we need to see them as that individual, worthy of attention and respect. And before you start arguing, or at least before I start arguing about whether a person is worthy of attention or respect, let me just warn us that the crowds in the Lord Jesus' time on earth were very certain that they knew who was worthy of attention and respect. They knew who were important people and who were nobodies. But the Lord Jesus Christ inevitably turned that paradigm on its head. They told Bartimaeus to be quiet and sit down, and the Lord stopped and said, "Send him to me." They told the kids, "Nope, you can't go see him," and the Lord said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." Yeah. Lepers, you know, approaching, and he would interact with them. We need to be so careful not to decide that we have the right to determine who deserves respect and love. The Lord does. The Almighty God Himself, incarnate in the flesh, paid attention to people who nobody else would pay attention to. He gave attention we can only imagine to absolute nobodies in society. And if that doesn't tell you something about what our perception of nobodies is, I don't know how to get that point across to you. Remember the story I shared about 3 minutes ago about meeting Joel? I hope you remember. That would be really scary if you didn't. You'd have a memory like mine, like that fish in that movie that can't remember stuff. But that brief interaction left its own impression on me. You know, Joel with his vibrant Hawaiian shirt. Vibrant's a nice word for it. It was awesome. It really was. He took a moment to compliment me on my shirt. And I was busy trying to see where the players were so I would know to be ready when they got to Tom. And my first inclination was not to engage in a whole lot of conversation. But I did. And it was just a few moments of conversation, but I found out about his family. I found out about how he likes to dress, and we got a picture taken together. And there was like a genuine connection in that few moments where we stopped being strangers and we became fellow human beings, worthy of attention and kindness. So just like Jeep owners always wave to each other, Hawaiian shirt wearers need to acknowledge the greatness that is loud, colorful shirts. I mean, I'm not allowed to have loud, colorful shirts. My Hawaiian shirts are always sedate ones with little Hawaiian things on them. I'm not really allowed to be loud and proud with the Hawaiian shirt. But this is what God is calling us to do, not wearing Hawaiian shirts. I do kind of feel like there was something in the spirit there that maybe we should wear. So maybe for Sunday school day. But what the Lord is calling us to do is to make connections and to value and to acknowledge the value in each person we meet. You know, it doesn't require a lot, a quick smile, a kind word, a moment of just undivided attention. And these small acts of connection are the building blocks of the love that Jesus commands us to share. And so I challenge you to intentionally make these kind of connections this week. Take a moment to actually connect with the person who's pouring your coffee or handing you your meal or who's, I don't know what else. who's riding the elevator with you. Make a quick joke. Make that quick connection. It doesn't have to be a lot, but it can add up to be quite a lot. And so when you're out and about, make that attempt to really see the people around you. It's not about the quantity of time you spend. It's about the quality of the connection you make. There are people who don't even know my name, but they light up every time they see me because they know I'm going to make some really bad jokes. And they're one of those blessed people from the Lord who like really bad jokes. And so I got to keep a couple of them on me just in case, so when I see them. It's about the connection you make. And so when we do this, we're not just fulfilling the Lord Jesus Christ's command, but we're also opening doors. Sometimes we get so evangelistically minded that, you know, we're ready to go out and invite everybody to church, and we wonder why nobody wants to come to church. It's because we're some weirdo off the street asking them to go to church, right? You got to make the connection, and that's why I keep saying with these cool little square things, which we've had them forever, but eventually they're going to get used. That's why I keep saying, don't just pass these out like Frisbees. Make a connection and then personally invite somebody to church. Show them how to use the QR code in the back, because evidently half the world doesn't know how to use those. You know, but take that moment to make the connection, and that starts to open the doors into life-changing experiences. And these small acts of connection can be the first step in demonstrating the Lord Jesus Christ's love to others. And they can be the foundation upon which deeper relationships are built. And who knows, your 19 seconds of genuine interaction might just be the thing that saves somebody's life, and it may change their future. And let's remember that love starts with connection. I'm reminded of, I mentioned this a couple times, and I always forget the man's name. He does motivational speaking now, but he survived a suicide attempt jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge, and he mentioned how he was just sobbing like an idiot, snot running down his face, and he just wanted one person to ask if he was okay. And the only person who stopped him asked if he would take a picture of them on the bridge. And so, feeling like nobody cared, he jumped. I just got filled with so much rage at that person. It's a good thing I don't know who they are. And I don't know how to ask the Lord to forgive, how to help me forgive somebody who didn't do anything wrong to me. But, you know, just, oh, that drives me nuts. It doesn't take much. And love starts with that short, simple connection. It starts with seeing others and allowing ourselves to be seen. Yes. Vulnerability is important. The ability to laugh at yourself is important. The ability to stop thinking you're something special and interact with somebody is very important. And as we move to our next slide, we can look at how these connections enable us to demonstrate the God-given value of the people we encounter. Because we've talked about making connections, and so now we get to look at how those connections demonstrate the, like I said, the God-given value. Because people in and of themselves don't necessarily seem to have much value. When we look at each other and we see how humans treat each other, we can see that life is truly cheap. And yet the Almighty God became flesh and laid down his life for the individual, not for the masses, but for each and every individual. And so when I talk about value, how valuable must we be in his sight? That's the kind of God he is, that he loves us. And so I'm going to say demonstrate their value, but I want to be clear that we're also not trying to take advantage of their value, but we're going to recognize that they are of utmost value to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to acknowledge that they have value because the Lord thought they were worth dying for. And so the phrasing is clunky, but I want you to understand this point. We need to acknowledge a person's inherent worth as human beings beloved by God, right? We need to cherish the value that the Lord places on them. And so let's look at that. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't just tell us to love one another. He showed us how to love one another. And as you have heard me so often say in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. On this hang all the law and the prophets. So when Jesus says to love your neighbor as yourself, he's instructing us not only to act towards that person as we would act towards ourselves, but he's telling us to see the value in the other person that we see in ourselves. We need to recognize that every person we meet is worthy of our time, our attention, and our care. And now you might say, oh, I don't like myself. Well, that may be true, but I guarantee you, if you touch a hot stove, you're going to take your hand away. Your body has autonomous reactions designed to protect you. You have instinctive desires. If you go to fall, you're going to instinctively try to right yourself. We need to have that kind of instinctive reaction. We need to have that kind of instinctive reaction to somebody else's pain. Yes. To somebody else's danger. We need to get past this idea that it's got to be this gigantic thing. It's got to be in that instinctive reflex to comfort, that instinctive reflex to just encourage and to move them a little higher. We need to recognize that everyone we meet is worthy of that time, time, attention, and care. And we're all amending this, but what does this look like in practice? Because it's one thing to make a connection, to say hello, or to offer a smile. It's another thing to demonstrate that you truly value the person in front of you. And this is where we move beyond a simple greeting to a meaningful engagement. And I'm going to share a couple of stories to illustrate this point. And I only tell stories about things that I was involved in. And that's not because I'm an egotist, although I do have an ego. It's because those are the stories I know. All right, I can't tell you about the time you did that great thing because I wasn't there. But so I'm going to tell you a couple of stories in my life that stay with me and help highlight this. So years ago, in a galaxy far, far away, I was fishing at a pond, and I saw these two young boys there fishing as well. And I noticed that they didn't have much to fish with, and they kept tying their hooks on with square knots, square knot on square knot on square knot. And so the knots were almost bigger than the hook, and it wasn't holding them anyway, because you don't tie hook. Fishing line does not hold with square knots, right? And so fortunately, when I was wee high, my grandfather taught me a very easy fishing knot called a Palomar knot, and so I showed them how to do that knot and watched them do it a couple times, and they were so happy to actually have the hook stay on the line when they snagged something, and they were so thrilled. But then they were also didn't have the right kind of bait, so I gave them some of the stuff I was using, and they had better luck with that. And you know, I probably should have taken some time to really make this story pull at your heartstrings. You know, and so when this little boy with the cowlick looked up at me with his big brown eyes, I'm not really good at it. But that would have been hilarious if I could have done that and, you know, get my voice to quaver just right. If I could fake emotion, life would be a lot easier. But instead, the real stuff just comes through. Anyway, so this kid, you know, looks up at me and asks me why I'm being nice to them. And I thought that was a valid question, because I don't trust nice people either, because I too am human. But it gave me an opportunity to say, you know what? The Almighty God loves you. The creator of everything loves you. And if you're special to my God, you should also be special to me. And they didn't really get it, and I explained it four different ways, and they just didn't really dawn on them, but what they did know was that I cared about them. And so they were off fishing, and every time they caught something, they'd come running over to show me what they caught. And when they were done and had to go home, they came and asked me if they could use my cell phone to call their mom. And so I let them, and as a result, I was able to share the gospel with their mother as well. And I don't know where they went with their life, but I do know that for a moment, two little kids got to feel a person's love with no strings attached. Growing up in a house with just a mother and no father, they got to see that a male figure can, in fact, love them and saw something of value in them. And I feel like that was a worthwhile thing to do with my life. And so this simple act of teaching a fishing knot and sharing a couple bucks worth of fishing gear turned into something significant. And by taking the time to engage with these guys, to share my knowledge, because, you know, I'm wise, and resources, I showed them that I valued them. And I wasn't just passing by. And to be honest, when they were first there, I was a little irked because they were in my spot. And they're not even catching the fish. They're just making noise, casting, and, you know. And then I'm like, all right, great, I'll go somewhere else. But then they're still talking, and, you know. Imagine if my inner grump, it just continued. Renee's laughing. Yeah, that poor lady has to live with me. Pray for her, folks. But I wasn't just passing by, but I invested in their experience, right? I invested in their learning, and I invested in their enjoyment. You know, they were important, and I was excited to see them able to tie the knots on their own now, and I was excited to see them actually catch something with the hooks, right? I was investing and invested in them just by a couple of minutes of teaching how to, you know, the rabbit goes around the tree and under the hole and then around the hook, right? Just a couple of seconds of illustration, and there was a connection. And they became important to me, and I became important to them. And as that result, that initial, and I call that demonstration, that I recognized that they were of value. And that opened the door to share something infinitely more valuable that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, thinks they're valuable and loves them. And by showing these boys that they were worth my time and attention, I created an opportunity to share God's love not only with them, but with their mother, and tell her of the gospel and invite her to church. And now a second story. Illustration are not always my strong point, but decades later, and I don't like being able to say that, but it truly was decades later, we were going kayaking at the same pond, my wife, myself, and I think my guys, and we noticed this little girl there fishing with her grandfather, and she had some kind of lure that just wasn't going to work there, and I had like a dozen or something night crawlers, and so I gave her a couple of night crawlers, and I didn't think anything of it. I just saw, you're not going to catch anything with that, try these. And moved on with my life. But when we got back, the grandfather had left me a note on the car. It was a simple note. You know, thank you for the night crawlers. She caught four fish. It made her day. You know, I still have that note. But that's also partly because I don't throw anything away. I also have gum wrappers. But I specifically kept that one because that was important to me. I need to stop talking here. Let's pray. But this note, you know, the worms made her day. Catching the fish made her day. And that made her grandfather's day. And that note made my day. And that note made Renee's day. 30 seconds of here, digging out a couple of night crawlers. Try these instead, right? A throwaway activity. I had forgotten about it by the time I was 3 paddles out. But man, the rest of that brightened my day, right? And see, demonstrating care and value, someone's value, doesn't always lead to these immediate, tangible results. Because I didn't stick around to see what happened with those night crawlers. I just tossed them her way, and somehow, right? What's beautiful to me about that little story is that ripple effect. That a couple of night crawlers would make a little girl's day, would make a granddad's day, would make my and my wife's day, right? It's this ripple experience. By valuing her and her experience, that's how life works. That's how love works, right? It multiplies, and it grows exponentially, and it comes back and touches us in unexpected ways. And I think these stories, well, the reason I'm telling you these stories is because I think they teach us some important lessons about how to demonstrate to someone that they're valuable to you. And it often involves sharing, whether that's knowledge, resources, or time. It rarely requires a huge investment. Sometimes it's as simple as 3 night crawlers. The impact often goes beyond what we can see in the moment. And that by valuing others, we open the door for an even deeper connection and more opportunities to share God's love. And so how can we apply this in our daily lives? We can start by being attentive to the needs of those around us. Maybe it's giving a girl a couple of night crawlers. Maybe it's offering to help a coworker who's struggling with a task. Maybe it's taking the time out to really listen when a friend needs to talk. Maybe it's using your skills or your resources to help a neighbor or a stranger. Maybe it's just taking that time to say, I know you're going through a tough time, but I have faith in the Lord that He will carry you through. Maybe it's just that little time of letting them know that you see them in their struggles. I was going to say one last story, but I might tell another story after this. But one time, a friend of mine at work was given a project, and it required her working in this platform she knew nothing about. And so she came and asked me, and she had a tight deadline and a ton of pressure on her for it. And it wasn't fair for them to have given her this job. But I knew the technology, luckily, and so I showed her what I knew. And then when she ran that job after hours, I logged in and was online to assist her. And it was a good thing I did, because the job had failures. And so she was beginning to panic, because she literally only knew what little I had told her. And she hadn't done this kind of troubleshooting before. She didn't know the system flow. None of this was available to her. But I was there, and so I walked her through it. And I didn't do it for her, but I was alongside her, helping her, you know, debug it, and she figured it out, and she got it done with my assistance. And years later, I bumped into her again. I hadn't seen her in a long time, and she told me that the thing she always remembers about me is that night that I spent online helping her with that project. And I had forgotten that I had done that until she mentioned it. And I know I've got a bad memory, but it's not just because I've got a bad memory. It's because spending an hour to help somebody at work is just, I do a lot of that. But that's the thing she remembered most about me, after like a decade of working together. And that still got her emotional, talking about the pressure she was under and how she was successful and how she, you know, she got the kudos she deserved for getting that done. It only took me an hour or two on an evening. And it was something I was good at. And I didn't have skin in the game, so I wasn't really stressed about it. But for her, it was something meaningful and something to remember. And of course, clearly these stories are not about how great I am, because you know me and you know better than that. But what I want you to get from these little, I'm going to call them anecdotes to formalize them, is how someone even as socially awkward and introverted as I am can demonstrate God's love in little consistent ways as part of my ongoing life, as part of my ongoing habit of existence, and they have a far greater impact than they have cost. Demonstrating value isn't only done through grand gestures. In fact, it's typically not done through grand gestures. It's done through those consistent, sincere actions that show others that they matter to you. It's about treating each person you come across as someone who is made in God's image and who is worthy of love and respect. And so, as we move to our next slide, let's challenge ourselves to not just make connections, but to demonstrate that the other person is valuable to us. And let's look for opportunities to invest in others, even short, small things that can have a meaningful impact. Let's look for those opportunities to share what we have and to show what we truly see and care about the people that God puts in our path. And so we've talked about making connections and demonstrating values, and this is a lot longer than the 30 minutes I thought I was going to take, so I apologize for the time. Last section, then we'll close. But let's look at how these actions become a way to demonstrate God's love to the world around us. We read in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. And our ability to love others comes directly from the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has shown to us. And so I want you to think about that for a second. Every act of kindness, every moment of genuine connection, every instance where we demonstrate that we see value in another person, all of these things are reflections of God's love. It doesn't require you paying off somebody's mortgage. It's these small moments of kindness and connection. When we reach out to other people in love, we're not just being nice. We are being conduits of God's love to this world. And how does this look in practice? How do we move from just demonstrating God's love? Well, another story. One day I was leaving my house on some errands, and I don't know what it was for, but I was just running out of the house, and I saw my neighbor sitting on the steps of his porch, and like I always do, I say, "Hey, how are you?" And he lets me know that he has a problem. And to be honest, my "hi, how are you?" doesn't always mean that I care. It's just a polite inquiry, and it's never wrong. But and he told me that he was dealing with an issue, and I said without even thinking about it, "Oh, can I pray about that with you?" And he said, "Yes." And so I ran over, and we prayed, and the next thing you know, we're talking about the Lord. He started joining our Zoom services, and we started having weekly Bible studies. He's come to service a few times. And we covered all of the plan of salvation before we got to the end of Genesis. And the Bible study ended, but our friendship and the friendship between our spouses remain. And they're wonderful people. I love them dearly. And I would have missed out on that friendship if I hadn't asked to pray for them. And I don't know what God is doing in their lives, and I don't know what the future holds, but I know that they've heard of the oneness of God. He's received that revelation. I know that he understands the Lord better than he did before we met. And we have a great friendship. And it all started because I heard of a need, and without thinking about it, I wanted God to fix it. And so I thought I'd ask him. A simple split-second offer to pray for my neighbor grew into something much more profound. That offer took less than 19 seconds and led to quite a bit more time commitment. But by offering to pray, I wasn't just expressing sympathy. I wasn't just going through motions. I wasn't just trying to be helpful. I was also inviting God into that situation, and I was demonstrating that I believed in a loving God who cares about that person's problems. And that was a simple act that opened a door to a friendship, to months of Bible study, and a lasting relationship. So even though the formal Bible studies have ended, the impact continues. And there are important lessons we can draw from that as well, that demonstrating God's love often starts with something small. In this case, just to, oh, can I pray about that with you? It involves being willing to step out of your comfort zone and to bring our knowledge of God into our everyday actions. It shows the impact of demonstrating God's love often goes far beyond what we think of or plan. That spur-of-the-moment thing where the Lord uses you, you don't even know He's using you. And lastly, it creates opportunities for deeper spiritual conversations and relationships. And then finally, when the immediate spiritual activity ends, the relationship that was formed continues on, demonstrating that God's love continues. And so this story, I thought, leads quite well to the Great Commission found in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, where Jesus tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. That's not the King James, but that's what it says in probably John's paraphrase. I don't know how to quote that. By demonstrating God's love in our everyday interactions, we're laying the groundwork for discipleship. And we're showing people what God's love looks like in action before we even open a Bible, before we even start to explain who God is. And so to apply this in our daily lives, it starts by being aware, again, of the opportunities around us, whether it's offering to pray for coworkers in a difficult time, maybe it's sharing a word of encouragement that God has placed on your heart for a friend. It could be extended. It also includes forgiving someone who has wronged you, which mirrors God's forgiveness of us. And I would like you to remember that demonstrating God's love is not just about grand gestures. It's not about having all the right words. It's about consistently allowing God's love to flow through our interactions with others. It's about being willing to bring our faith, our knowledge of God, into our everyday conversations and relationships naturally and instinctively. We shouldn't have to psych ourselves up and find an opening. It should be outflowing from us and our walk with God. So let's challenge ourselves not to just make connections and not just to demonstrate that a person has value, but also to demonstrate God's love through those interactions consciously. And let's look for opportunities to bring God's perspective, God's comfort, and God's truth into our relationships. And by doing this, we are fulfilling the Lord's commandment to love one another. And we're fulfilling His commission to make disciples. And we're showing the world what God's love looks like in action, one interaction and one greeting at a time. Amen. Last slide. And so as we close, let's return to where we started those 19 seconds. That story of the quarterback who took just 19 seconds to greet Tom, to sign his hat, and exchange a few words. Just a few seconds to sign the back of that young woman's jersey. And those 19 seconds created a memory that will last a lifetime. And today, over the course of a little longer than I thought, we've looked at how we, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, can have an even greater impact in the brief momentary interactions of our lives. And we've seen just how important just a few seconds can be, just how transformative a few seconds can be when we make a personal connection by that acknowledging other people and acknowledging that they are worthy, that they are people, and that they deserve our attention. And when we demonstrate their value by showing them that they matter to us, And if they matter to us, then we demonstrate God's love, showing that they matter to us because the Almighty God loves them and died for them. And so that's allowing His love to flow through our interaction with Him and others. And so these three elements, they work together to provide a powerful testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ's love for us and them through our lives. And here's the beautiful thing, is it doesn't require hours of our time. It doesn't require gigantic sacrifices. It can happen in less than 19 seconds. Imagine our impact if we approached every interaction with this mindset. What if we saw every encounter, whether with a family member, a coworker, a neighbor, or even a stranger, if we saw every encounter as an opportunity to make a connection, to show that you value them, and to demonstrate God's love? What an impact we would have. It might look like just taking a moment to listen to the grocery store clerk. It may to ask how their day is going. It might be about telling a joke to the cashier. It might be making jokes with the people at the state police licensing department when they're all grouchy at anybody else and they end up laughing and joking around with you because you didn't treat them like they were dirt. You know, all kinds of ways. I'll tell you that story some other time. But there's all kinds of ways to make a change in somebody's day and their life simply by acknowledging the fact that they're human. Amen. Just make that connection and take it from there. You can introduce God into what used to be a gap. And so it seems like a big thing when we talk about it, about the love of God. But when we look at Jesus's day-to-day actions, his day-to-day life, we understand it's not always the giant sacrifices. It's those daily interactions that can mean so much. They have that ripple effect far beyond what we can see. And so none of these episodes required brilliance, charisma, or immense righteousness. They didn't require an encyclopedic understanding of the scripture. They just needed me to see that they were as precious in the sight of the Lord as I am, and to make a connection. None of these episodes, none of these anecdotes came with an agenda. It's simply living a life that sees people around us through the eyes of our Savior's love. So many times I think this world would be such a better place if we just thought, how can I not be a jerk in this situation, and then did that. But how much more effective and how much more impactful will we be if we stop just not being a jerk and move into being someone who truly cares? And so this week, I want to challenge you to look for your 19-second opportunities. They're all around you, and don't let them pass by unnoticed. Make those connections. Acknowledge that person is valuable. Demonstrate God's love. And you never know how God might use you to change a life. And He might even change your life. So we're not doing this with an agenda. We're doing this because every person is worth connecting with. Every soul should be saved. Every individual is valuable. Every soul is loved by Christ. And so this is how Jesus loved. This is how He commanded us to love. And so as we close, and I'm going to open the altar here, maybe you can even feel a little bit of the fan breeze and give a little bit of relief. But as you leave here and as you go before the Lord, I want you to think about the next person you'll encounter. And how can you use your 19 seconds with them to make a connection, to value them, and to demonstrate God's love? I'll open the altar if you would like to pray.